Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay. Welcome back. Jordana is off today. We talk a lot on this show about renewable energy, clean energy, electric vehicles. Certainly EVs, electric vehicles, have an important role to play going forward. Right now, I think the 2%, that's the market share for EVs. It's growing steadily, expected to maybe go as high as 20% within the next 10 to 15 years. But we're sort of on the leading edge of something significant. Still a lot of concern about carbon emissions. How do we bring down our emissions and have everything that we want simultaneously? With us to talk about some of the options is a gentleman by the name of William Schroer, and he is executive director of East Metro Strong. That is a transit advocacy group. And good to have you with us, Will. Thank you.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
You know, it turns out that electric vehicles may not be the panacea that everybody thought they would be. And it's more than just Tesla. You know, people bring up Tesla, but they were one of the early adopters, one of the first. But now we've got a wide range of EVs, and Detroit is going all in, it seems. Three, four different electric pickup trucks are coming within the next couple of years. But yep. It may not be enough just going electric, right, to bring down emissions.
Well, that's certainly true. I think anyone who said that electric vehicles were going to be a panacea was getting ahead of themselves, honestly. But you're right. They are going to be a part of the solution. And you said, can we do this and have everything that we want? The technology is going to be helpful there, and EVs are going to be part of that helpful technology. Still won't be enough, probably. So we're going to have to talk about doing some other things. But looking forward to talking about it with you.
Absolutely. Tell us about car sharing. I mean, I think Uber, obviously disruptive technology to the point where most people now don't think anything about, you know, grabbing a ride share with Lyft or Uber. But car sharing seems to be an idea that's catching on fast. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. So most cars spend most of their time parked.
Right.
And it's a pretty expensive investment to leave just lying around most of the time. So the idea behind car share was very simply that a number of different people can it's just a fancy or not so fancy version of rental cars. Basically, when you need it, you use it. And when you don't need it, then somebody else is using it. And the difference between rentals and car shares is really just you don't have to go to the airport or you don't have to go to a downtown rental location. Car shares are cars are on the street. And we've had a car share network here in the cities called Our Car for more than 10 years. For a little while, we also had Car2Go in chunks of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And the difference between Our Car and Car2Go are a couple of fold. Our Car is what's called round trip car sharing. The cars live at a hub, and those hubs are all over Minneapolis and St. Paul. But you have to bring the car back to where you check it out. And that works very well for some people, but it doesn't work so well for other kinds of errands. Car2Go's model was you pick up a car, you take it someplace, and you leave it there. And that was supposed to be a lot more convenient. Car2Go pulled out of the cities a couple of years ago. I think a lot of people missed them because it was a very convenient model. And we can talk about why they pulled out and why Our Car is still here. And but Our Car very, very long lived, based here, a nonprofit committed to the community. And they have partnered with the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul to expand their network with electric vehicles. So bringing those two ideas together, and really excited. I've been a part of that planning process, and we expect to roll that out next year, and excited to combine both the efficiency of a car share, so you don't have to buy a car to have access to one, and the efficiency of an electric car.
Well, I certainly like the idea of electric, and I'm a fan, and I know, again, I have a Tesla Model 3. I have a BMW that I'm driving. I know BMW is going all in electric, and they have an amazing SUV that's all electric that's coming out next year. All the car companies seem to be serious. It doesn't seem like a fad. I mean, to me, it seems like a true trend. Can you talk? I mean, do the numbers work? Is there the return on investment? There's still a lot of skepticism out there when it comes to EVs.
I think there are a couple of advantages. The first is absolutely financial. We have an early Leaf that, you know, we plug it in at home, and we save, you know, first of all, we don't buy gas anymore for it, obviously. And depending on how you do the math, we're way ahead. I mean, we're ahead regardless of how you do the math. How far ahead we are, I guess, depends on how you factor in the capital cost of the car. But we love it because we don't pay for gas for that car anymore. And it's really fun to drive. The pickup on electric cars, since you have one of them yourself, and it doesn't have to be a BMW. Our Leaf has crazy pickup, and we mostly just keep it in econo mode because the full-on mode is too fast, honestly. It's probably not something you're going to hear everybody say, but...
whiplash. Your whiplash alert.
You got a little whiplash, absolutely.
And a minister mentioned to me, you brought up the Leaf. I want to just mention that, I mean, you can pick up a used Leaf for under $10,000. You don't have to spend stupid money
to
get...
No, that's exactly right. And that's what we did. We bought a used Leaf, and it's very inexpensive transportation at this point. It's just great. We do have a little, and I think this is what one of the barriers, we have a little range anxiety on that early Leaf. Mm-hmm. Not that we're driving 80 miles a day, but when it gets cold, and if we, you know, want to go to, you know, further out in the suburbs, there is a little anxiety, and that is part of why the cities are partnering with our car to install this electric vehicle charging network. So it's going to be both the electric vehicle car share themselves, and then there will be a network of 70 charging hubs distributed throughout the cities. So if you're an electric car owner, but out away from your house or away from your work where you usually plug in, you can plug in while you're out and about, no range anxiety. And so we're trying to lower that concern about buying an electric vehicle.
Absolutely.
Similarly, if you're a Tesla driver, you have a longer range. Many of these newer cars, the new Leafs, are going to have 200-mile range. If you want to drive up from Rochester, where are you going to plug in? Well, now there's a network, right? And wherever you're going in the cities, you're probably going to be close to a charger. So we're trying to both make electric cars available to more people as part of a car share, and then make buying an electric car easier for more people because they'll have more places to plug in and reduce that concern about that.
Will, where can people go if they want more information about East Metro Strong and what you're doing?
We have a website, which is called eastmetrostrong.com. I want to emphasize that the city of St. Paul is one of our members. We're a partnership between six East Metro cities, two counties, and several large employers who want to see more transit in the East Metro. They also want to see just better transportation options generally. And so we're partnered with the city of St. Paul on this to help advance this. I want to acknowledge the role of Xcel Energy in this network rollout as well. So Xcel Energy has pledged $4 million to construct, this is a term I've now learned, the make ready for the charging network. So basically anything that's underground up to the point of the electric vehicle charger, Xcel Energy is going to put in as part of their contribution to this network. And so we're very grateful to Xcel for that. It's not entirely selfless because they see this as a great way to manage load. Electric cars plug in mostly at night, and wind energy is also most plentiful at night, and right. the demand on the grid is lowest at night. So if you can serve drivers or anyone that needs access to the occasional car by charging at night, that's something that you want to encourage, and that's part of Xcel's plan and contributing to this network. So they're really stepping up. It's a great public-private partnership, and I think you're going to see more of that down the road.
Will Schroer, Executive Director, EastMetroStrong.com. Thank you for joining us, Will, and continued success getting the word out.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You bet. When we come back, what do you think about a Category 5 winter storm? NOAA is tinkering with a new rating scale, much like we rate tornadoes and hurricanes, that's coming to winter storms. That's next.
Paul and Jordana.
Okay, so it's going to snow a little bit on our scale from nuisance to plowable to crippling, which I started back at CARE in 1983, started tossing around the term plowable and crippling. And I wish I could say that I thought of this. I didn't. A favorite meteorology professor at Penn State, actually. At one point, he had a lecture, and he goes, he stood up there and he said, you know what? In spite of all the technology, computer models, we can't predict snow down to the inch. It's just, it's an act of futility. He said, give people a range, and he threw out the terms nuisance and plowable, which is what it, you know, plowable means generally at least 2 or 3 inches, enough to shovel and plow, and then crippling, where everything gets shut down. And he said, try that instead of always trying to predict snow down to the inch.
Now, hold on. If you're, say, in Kansas, you know, one flake of snow is a nuisance if you're in Kansas, and plows don't exist, and half an inch is crippling. So does the scale still work in some of the southern states, or do you got to adjust it down there?
Check the map, DJ. You do not live in Kansas.
Well,
you live in Minnesota, where we get plenty of snow. You're right. Of course, the scale is going to vary. Atlanta would have a different set of criteria,
sure, okay,
than Detroit. Yeah, so you got to adjust it regionally, but I still think the concept plowable, mm-hmm, generally 2 or 3 inches plus.
Sure.
And where you can still get around crippling, everything shuts down. Nobody moves.
Yeah.
And
now,
this will be a crippling storm.
Certainly.
For parts of North Dakota. 20 to 30 inches of wind whip snow. And by the way, NOAA is experimenting with a new experimental scale. It's called the WSSI, which is a mouthful. That is the Winter Storm Severity Index. And they have 5 different flavors, and the worst is extreme impacts. Let me read to you what NOAA says about extreme impacts. Extensive and widespread severe property damage, life-saving actions will be needed, results in extreme disruptions to daily life. And that is what is predicted for parts of central and eastern North Dakota late tonight, right through Saturday morning. So if your travels take you into the Dakotas, be forewarned, it's going to be crazy out there. A couple of other nuggets that caught my eye. By the way, the earliest accumulating snow in the Twin Cities, the earliest accumulating snow, not flurries, September 24th, 1985, 0.4 inches of snow. Good grief. You may have heard California cut power to 500,000 customers in the dark right now, preemptively cutting power to try to reduce the threat of wildfire risk. The deadly Camp Fire last year was started after a live power line, touched nearby trees. That started a conflagration. Now they're turning off the juice to the power lines in advance. When there's a threat of these Santa Ana winds, these hot, dry winds, which are forecast for much of Northern California in the coming days, They're predicting 800,000 people will be in the dark for days, maybe as long as a week. People in 34 counties, which has me what? I mean, the power goes out for a couple hours, people squawk. I can't imagine, you know, a week of no power. And I understand the motivation to reduce the threat of a horrific wildfire, but good grief. September, the warmest on record, tying 2016, according to data released by the Copernicus Climate Change Service, a European group that measures the planet's temperature. And I saw on the Weather Channel on weather.com, already 10 separate billion-dollar U.S. weather disasters so far in the United States just this year. 10 disasters that caused at least $1 billion in damage. Cyclones, severe weather, drought, river flooding. And I found this vaguely interesting. Records going back to 1980, the U.S. has endured a total of 254 separate billion-dollar weather disasters. Out of those 254 events, 65 have occurred in the last 5 years. That's more than twice as many per year as the annual average since 1980. Inflation does not explain the increase because these figures are inflation adjusted. So it does seem like disasters which have occurred since the dawn of time are getting juiced. Hotter, longer, more severe wildfires, more severe floods. Yeah. Crazy year. All right. When we come back, we're going to go way beyond the headlines. That's with DJ, our amazing producer. Stick around for some craziness that's coming next.
Paul and Jordana.
Beyond the headlines.
Okay. So Airbnb, all kinds of interesting accommodations. What about the Goodyear blimp? How much would you spend to hang out inside the Goodyear blimp?
You get to spend a night there?
Yeah.
Overnight? Wow.
Yeah. But it doesn't go up in the air. You have to be content with being on the ground. Which, yeah, I know. If you could do it like above your neighborhood, though, look down on your neighbors, maybe throw things down. No. Anyway, Goodyear listed one of its blimps on Airbnb for three separate one-night stays, October 22nd through the 24th. But aviation lovers be forewarned, the blimp will stay grounded. Somehow, Goodyear squeezed a bed, a couch, two chairs, several tables, a potted plant, and plenty of football knickknacks into the little gondola. And it looks kind of cozy. The blimp will stay parked in an air hangar minutes from Goodyear's headquarters in Akron, Ohio. Yeah, luckily guests can stretch their legs in a wall-less entertaining space just outside the gondola, complete with a TV and open bar, which is a good thing. Goodyear will not allow guests to bring their own alcohol onto the blimp. Because what can possibly go wrong? What you got, Dave?
Well, let me tell you about this. A woman apparently has been hospitalized after mistaking wasabi for avocado.
Ooh.
Now, I saw this headline last week, actually, and I skipped it over. But then, you know, on Monday, we were at Seven Steakhouse and Sushi over here for our pregame
party.
Had
some great sushi.
And I got some sushi. I got a little more than I could have, and I brought home a box of it. And in this very building, yesterday, I opened up that sushi again, and I'm eating the sushi. And I came just seconds away from tossing an entire quarter-sized, like, sphere of wasabi.
A wad of wasabi?
Yeah, because there was avocado in the sushi, and I almost ate the whole thing. But
they're both green!
Little did I know that that could have been extremely dangerous. A 60-year-old woman in Israel ate a spoonful of the spicy condiment at a wedding, thinking it was avocado. Shortly afterwards, she felt sudden pressure in her chest. They thought she was having a heart attack. And after going to the hospital hours after this incident, they realized that this was actually a condition where it actually, there's a misshapen part of your heart that stops pumping blood as well. It's known as something I can't pronounce, but commonly known as broken heart syndrome. And it was all brought on
wasabi.
By this woman accidentally eating wasabi because she thought it was avocado.
Here, try some lime sorbet.
Just think, I could have missed the show. I could have been in the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, you would have had to come visit me.
I would have come.
I know.
I'm not sure Giordano
would have finished the sushi that I couldn't eat, I think.
Well, no sushi left behind. Yeah. Heck yes.
So I dodged a bullet there.
Glad you're okay. Yeah.
Test it out. Avocado versus wasabi.
We know about Philly fans, right? Oof, man. So here's the deal. I found this interesting. Philadelphia Flyers fans are getting their own rage room to vent their hockey frustrations. It's been a 44-year-long Stanley Cup drought for Flyers fans. The Flyers added a rage room to the Wells Fargo Center where fans can smash everyday objects with hockey sticks, bats, and sledgehammers. Some of the items available for breaking might even bear the logo of an opposing team, according to the Flyers. Fans can book time in the first-ever rage room in a sports venue in the U.S., which opened today. The Flyers have not made the playoffs in 4 of the last 8 seasons. We feel their pain. No, actually, we don't. Yeah, Philly fans, and I grew up west of Philly, about an hour and a half, about an hour 15 west in Lancaster, and not all of them. It's usually a few bad apples, but they seem to have a greater percentage of bad apples, the fans in Philly.
Remember we had Shaletta on a few weeks ago, and she talked about the room at the Viking Stadium for kids that maybe deal with autism.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
And, you know, it's a low sensory room so that these kids that would maybe not be able to partake in a Vikings game can have a place that's safe so that they are able to go to a game. So in football, we're going out of our way to make a safe place for kids. In hockey, forget that. We're just going to have a room where you can smash
stuff. Where you can smash stuff. Yeah.
All right, I'm sensing a theme with mine, and that is a theme of food. Get this. A woman recently uploaded a video on Twitter that claims that a TSA agent stopped her because she had flaming hot Cheetos in her carry-on bag. She says she had, quote, like 20 bags of hot Cheerios on her flight to Korea. And she was pulled out of the line, and they tested 7 or 8 of those bags because apparently flaming hot Cheetos are suspicious.
Does that show up on the X-ray?
I don't know. I know you have to take food out of your bag now and scan that separately if you have food along. But I don't know why Flamin' Hot Cheetos would be
liquid.
Different than anything
are
else.
Are they combustible?
Well,
are they that hot?
I bet they are combustible. If you've ever seen
like
those
batteries that
I don't know.
Spontaneously combust?
No, it doesn't say anything about her getting pulled off the flight or anything confiscated. But they did pull her aside and search her bags because of the like 20, quote-unquote, bags of
Flamin'
Hot
God, I'm hungry
Cheetos.
Now.
Have you ever had Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
I've not had the Flamin'
Hot.
Are they good?
Word. We should, I mean, tomorrow we should get some Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Do we have any in the vending machine here?
Well, I don't know. I've never checked. We should figure this out. They're very good.
God, I'm hungry. All right. So, apparently the European Space Agency has detected a new asteroid with a very high chance of hitting the Earth on September 16th. 2084.
Yeah, you're doing the math, aren't you?
Mm. Yeah, that's a long time from now.
Wow. Yeah, apparently a very significant chance. This asteroid is 46 feet wide. Due to its small size, it most likely will burn up in Earth's atmosphere instead of hitting the ground. They can't guarantee it, but it's expected to pass within 73,000 miles of the planet, but a little gravitational tug from nearby planets could put it on a collision course with the Earth. So, you know, Bruce Willis will be gone by then.
I'll be closing in on 100.
Yeah. You might still be kicking.
Yeah.
So it might generate a lot of excitement at the retirement facility. I'll be long gone.
If I'm almost 100 and that's coming and you know, they're telling everybody to batten down the hatches and get to a shelter, I think I'll just take my lawn chair out in the front yard.
Yeah, with a beer.
Yeah, just see what happens.
Yeah.
It's been a good run.
Take a beer and a Bible and just, you know, hey, okay, I'm ready. Take me now, Lord.
Well, of course, we know that the hands-free law went into effect here in Minnesota, and that's because some reports show that in the neighborhood of 18% of crashes are caused by distracted driving. But now,
right,
the National Highway Safety Administration is trying to crack down on another form of distracted driving, and that is eating while driving. Apparently, eating while driving is also a huge danger.
Even Flaming Hot Cheetos?
Well, that's an exception, I think. Don't you? I don't think
I have seen. I have seen people like eating whole cheesesteaks and not just burgers, but well, I've seen some crazy stuff.
And I will admit I am guilty of this. We're going on a road trip next week, and I'm sure I will be guilty of this again. But they released this graphic showing how foods that maybe you and I eat in the car all the time, like coffee and donuts, can cause stains and spills and cause you to lose control of your vehicle. Burgers and fries require multiple hands, which is true. You can't have fries without something to dip them in, so then you got multiple hands. You're balancing the cup of mustard on your leg. You know, not that I've ever done that before, of course.
McDonald's fries, you don't need ketchup. I mean, I like ketchup, but you can eat those. I mean, they have enough salt. They're good. You don't need anything on those. Burger King's pretty good, too.
Yeah, they are. But dip those in some mustard or some sriracha sauce or something like that. Oof-ta. Or even things like a candy bar can melt in your hands, causing a sticky mess and causing you to be distracted from driving. So, stop eating and driving, Paul. I know you do it every day.
But soon it's going to be drinking, you know? Can I take a water bottle into my car?
Well,
it's distracting when you lift it up to your lips. You're not looking out the windshield, idiot.
Let me squeeze this in. A Florida man, hard to believe he's from Florida. A Florida man was reportedly arrested for trying to get an alligator drunk after his pal captured the reptile. Timothy Kepke, 27 years old, allegedly fed beer to the animal, which also bit him, by the way. Good for the alligator. He caught the gator with his bare hands. Must have been a smaller gator. And he told authorities that he, too, had been consuming beers that day. Hard to believe. Claimed he was not intoxicated during the incident after the beer feeding, which was recorded on video. Of course, there's always some bozo who's making a video of this. The duo did release the animal back into the wild, but he was arrested. It is against the law to get a gator drunk in Florida. So don't even think about it, David. We're done. We're done here. Hey, the Twins were obviously playing Monday evening, so Monday Night Purple is this evening, 6 o'clock, B-52 Burgers and Brew in Invergrove Heights, and of course, right here on CCO, hosted by Joe Anderson and Jeff Diamond, special guest Pat Elflein. So check that out, 6 o'clock, right here. Mike Max joins us, and
yeah,
Maxie,
I'm hosting Live Outdoors with Ron Scherer at 7 o'clock tonight.
Are you?
It's worth the old promos, you bet.
Just keep it on
CCO.
There's
a lot to talk about with these storms moving in, yeah.
Hey, I want to get this in. You had a chat with Rocco earlier, right?
Yeah, I had a long talk with Rocco Baldo. I find him refreshing, and we share a love for coffee, and so we're able to compare notes on local coffee places.
Really?
But he was... his recurring theme was part of the reason that this season was so magical was he really liked the guys that came to his office, meaning his players. And he was a bit surprised at how much he enjoyed that interaction. I said, what was the hardest part about being a major league manager? And he said that every day the door opens and you're not sure what's coming through. You know, what the Tom Kelly used to say, every day there's a crisis, you just don't know what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that every day just not knowing. Sometimes it's good news, you know, but in learning that you had to make decisions on the fly about some of that stuff. But he really has a positive outlook about things. He's pretty cerebral about things. He does not, his personality is such that he doesn't get real upset about any one thing. It's more one-on-one conversations and fun stuff.
And how bizarre, how random for Kirk Cousins to get a call from the president, huh?
My gosh. I mean, he said, we were out there today, and obviously this has been buzzing around. And he says, I'm on my bus, and my agent texts me and says, hey, you know, you need to call this phone number at the White House. And he says, next thing I know, I'm on the phone with the president. But he says, just a 30-second conversation. And he says, and Kirk handled it well today. He said, you know, I don't care if they're right, left, in the middle. If the president calls, I'm gonna call him back and say, what do you need?
Sure.
You know, what are you going to? And then they ask Mike Zimmer about it. It's kind of funny. Mike Zimmer's not, you know, he's not much into the extra stuff, anything that takes away from a football
right.
game. And he just said, yeah, I don't know anything about that. I heard they played golf once, but I'm just here to coach.
All right, Mikey, we'll tune in for your show at 7. Thank you, my friend.
Got it.
As always. When we come back, the stories that are trending and setting travel goals as a metaphor for life. Next.
Paul and Jordana.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.